Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome back to Circles of Change, and of course it's always a pleasure to have invited guests, but particularly ones that play in the same space that I do, which is the change game. So welcome to the show, Carol Pyrus. How are you today, Carol?
I'm wonderful, thanks. Nice to be here.
You bet. Let me give a brief introduction. Carol has over 25 years of experience as a business leader, organizational consultant, executive coach, and trainer with domain knowledge and expertise in design and development, specifically of leadership strategies and the architecture that achieves business goals. There's that familiar word my way, too. Carol has extensive knowledge of change management practices, organizational effectiveness, and consulting, and has helped organizations large and small transform themselves. Her mantra, to be in service to others, as she uses, frankly, her intuition as well as business knowledge to help leaders get better, in particular, to find the more human side of leadership, compassion, listening, authenticity, and that ever-important transparency. Carol is passionate about her work and has a particular intention to help female leaders on their journey. The Pyrus Group, of course, it's a boutique consultancy in the San Francisco Bay Area, known for exceeding customer expectations via a team who delivers unparalleled customer service. And Carol speaks on a variety of topics, including generational differences in the workforce, gender communication, strategic networking, and leadership. And I'm sure you'll appreciate her energy and passion today when it comes to talking about leadership teams and, of course, that most important thing of getting results. So again, Carol, welcome.
Thank you, Zara. Nice to be here again.
You bet. Well, you opted and wanted to talk about trends in leadership development. And I think a lot of people may not understand that as much as things are shifting around externally to organizations, so are the expectations internally. And yet many times investing in that true leadership, not just supervision, is something we sometimes overlook. So tell us what's going on. What's hot these days?
Well, in the field of leadership development, we're seeing lots of changes, particularly with the advent of Gen Y coming into the workplace. That's creating quite a stir in terms of the boomer, Gen X, Gen Y differences. We're seeing things like compassion and mindfulness coming into the corporate workplace, although subtly. Things like emotional intelligence, coaching, of course, is hot, spirituality in the workplace, is kind of an interesting topic. So we're seeing lots of changes in the leadership space and in what corporations are endeavoring to do now as they build capacity and build their leadership capability for tomorrow.
Well, and I would think particularly because so many of the precepts have been turned upside down, twisted, and knocked over in the past 4 or 5 years, where we've had such an upheaval and shift in the economy, and it's driven organizations to recognize they need to have a different face on things too.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the last 5 years, we have seen corporations basically close up, not willing to spend, invest in money because they're unsure of the future, less people doing more work, the employer-employee relationship changing.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of things afoot that I think we're coming out of now, but it's still kind of a dicey period in corporate America.
And wouldn't you say, too, I know I see this within several of my clients, Carol, is, you know, the days of thinking that the only path to happiness or fulfillment was to get yourself on the supervisor track. But now when it's compounded with ever more work, more stress, a lot of people are stepping back and saying, really? I don't think so. I don't know that I want to go on that track. And in some regards, many organizations are recognizing that individual contributors and certainly functional experts are every bit as important in that, quote, leadership domain. So it isn't necessarily the supervisor piece. Are you seeing that as well in your client work?
Yep, absolutely. People are re-questioning, do I want to rise the ranks, and what is that getting me?
Right, right.
You know, and the whole notion of work for money, I think, is kind of passe, especially with Gen Y. They're coming in wanting to be fulfilled, wanting to be developed, you know, wanting meaningful work. People want a greater human connection now than I think ever before.
Well, so maybe you want to step back and kind of share your perspectives on those distinctions of generations in the workforce. I mean, many consultants talk about it, but I don't know that they've experienced it the full extent as you have over the years working with clients over different phases and cycles. So give us your take on that, perhaps.
Yeah, one of the things that I think I did uniquely, which was very fun, is instead of me being a facilitator to help the boomers or those in positions of hierarchy or power know how to manage Gen Y, I chose to bring all the generations together and let them have a dialogue and a conversation themselves. Facilitated, of course, around different perspectives and ways of thinking about things. And it's been so enlightening. I've had several clients where we've just brought together a group of people. So the hierarchy becomes dead because it becomes about the generations. But one of the side benefits is those in individual contributor positions get to interact with management in a conversation and a topic that isn't about position and power. It's
about perceptions,
how things work, how things need to work, what's important to them, what's not important to them, how, you know, how work has changed. And one of the big differences that is actually quite enlightening is the fact that people want to be developed. Yeah. You know, we boomers, I'm one, grew up with you played by the rules, hard work spoke for itself. Those are all passé now. And the younger generations coming up want more than just money, more than title. They want social responsibility. They want meaningful work. And they're very smart. And they can do things in half the time that it took us to do years ago.
Exactly. And the half-life of the degrees of those preceded them have even sped up. But, you know, I think, again, that word developed also should be clarified, because in days of yore, people would say, well, what is your development plan? And immediately people leapt to the conclusion, this is how do I get promoted and advanced up the ladder?
Right.
And are you not seeing that really no development mean as much as lateral moves and maybe even, quote, a perceived step back by some to get some cross-functional expertise that actually jumps you later on in your career?
Absolutely. And it is no longer about moving up. Yeah, it is about building skills and capacity for future jobs, future careers, you know, future things that I might want to do as an employee. It's no longer about, you know, do I aspire to be a supervisor or a manager or a director or a CEO? It's about, is my work meaningful? And how are you as a company going to help me build my skills in order to retain me? Right? And so we're finding that development takes on a whole new meaning, not about getting me to the next promotion or the next career move, but more about how do I make a difference in the world? How do I contribute in a way that is meaningful for me? How do I take my game to the next level for the long term? And how do you help me build my capability? Because quite honestly, I may not be here. And you may want to get rid of me. So the exchange is, you know, what are you going to do for me while I'm here in helping me build my long-term capacity for skill, you know, for skills and for greater contribution versus what it was before?
And I don't know that, I think you probably agree that isn't necessarily 100% of the workforce you're talking about, but certainly a significant amount that's it's causing us to turn our heads and recognize, particularly if we want to build a cohesive workforce and not have to deal with wholesale retention, that this is a significant set. You know, I think there's a word also that we use quite often, and that is the word career. Mm-hmm. And I know one of my insights over the past 3 years has been with working with younger, more mobile professionals is that word career has kind of a stasis about it. It's like using the R word for us boomers, meaning retirement. We don't like that word. You know, we think we're eternally young. We're trying our darndest, that is. Mm-hmm. But the idea of career did have this feeling of it's a locked-in track. I have to do my time on X, Y, Z. And so even as coaches and in the change space like you and I are, that word isn't necessarily embraced by certain people.
Especially the younger generation.
Yeah.
Because the whole days of loyalty to the company, dedication, staying a long time are gone. I mean, you can expect a younger person entering the workforce now to stay at a company maybe 2 years. So the question has to be reframed with not how do I keep this person for 20 years, but what do I need to do to maximize that person's contribution while I have them, him or her? And what might I do to continue to retain them, but it isn't about movement up the chain. It's about, again, contribution. I want the work that I do to be relevant. I want it to be meaningful. And how do I get that while at the same time making money?
No question about it. I recall stepping into a company about 5 years ago, and I happened to ask the all my direct reports. I said, well, I'd like to give me a sense, you know, behind closed doors quietly, who the high potentials were in the organization.
Mm-hmm.
And these men and women presented me lists of individuals, and I, of course, looked at years of service and age, and I said, no, I must not have asked the question correctly. These individuals are all in their mid-30s and 40s.
Mm-hmm.
And again, they looked at me like I had three heads. And I said, no, I'd like to know where are up-and-comers in their 20s to mid-30s, and tell me what kind of really pressing, hot-jumping, challenging, snarly, messy, you name it, assignments we're giving them.
Mm-hmm.
And they all kind of looked at me again. And I said, well, tell you what, I'll go out and meet some of them. And what happened was I got a sense of the type of work we were having those people do, and I was absolutely mortified, thinking, you know, and I brought my senior staff together. I said, now, remind me, if all of us had been asked to do this type of work, and I described it, when we were their age, what would we have done? And to a person, everyone said, I'd get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
And it dawned on me, and them, of course, at the same time, that, oh, my gosh, in some regards, they had been holding on to some of that best work, so to speak, challenging. And I don't know that it's they had lack of confidence in those coming up, but again, us baby boomers have been known to plug up the pipeline a bit here when it comes to otherwise releasing the reins and developing others.
Oh, of course, it's about paying your dues. The way we grew up. You had to pay your dues, time and grade. You know, had to be at a company in order to move up. And interestingly, Gen Y would say, and even Gen Xers to some degree, gee, sorry it takes you 8 hours to do that. I can do it in two and then I'll go surf. Right?
Exactly.
So the whole notion of how work is accomplished and what results mean, it's not about time anymore. It's about results, right? So their whole focus is in, point me in the right direction, tell me what you want, I'll go do it for you, and I may need some things along the way, but it isn't the way that we boomers grew up in the work environment. So we've got to really fundamentally rethink how we manage people, how we work on teams, you know, what makes sense to this newer generation, because by the way, they outnumber us boomers. So where we thought we were king back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, you know, as we took over the world and created a new paradigm, Gen Y is coming on our heels now. And oh, by the way, we parented them.
Yeah, exactly right. We got what we set up.
Be careful what you wish for.
Well, you know, though, I have to tell you, though, many times I think we get ourselves spun into these. He's a Gen X, she's a Gen Y, this person's a boomer. And many times, though, depending, of course, it's probably contextual specific, is there some of those attributes in all generations? And for example, you know, your description of just give me the bare minimum, get out of my way, I'm getting it done, and oh, by the way, have 10 more things for me. I can tell you that was Zara at age 20.
Mm-hmm.
Although I know, tall redhead, I was probably one of those problematic child that certain people said, you're really tough to manage. And I said, well, that's I absolutely acknowledge it, but don't you understand, I'm not one that wants to be managed. I want to be led. And Carol, that really is the work that you spend a lot of time with, isn't it? With leaders, is to let them know how to get in the groove of leading people, not managing people.
Correct. There's a big distinction. And I think, again, the old paradigms are starting to fall away, where the notion of leading is taking on a whole new meaning, which is, I don't cite direction, I give you outcomes that I want, I'll let you go do the work, and oh, by the way, I have to let you go do it your way, and it may not be the way that I would have thought of it, so empowerment, you know, giving enough guidance to cite direction, but not over killing a person's sense of innovation and creativity.
Exactly.
And how they want to get things done. So, yes, I think the whole notion of the generations and all four generations right now being in the workplace create quite a stir.
Which, when capitalized on, by the way, just like you have addressed, bringing the generations together and thinking differently about things, whatever the topic might be, provided we get people to leave the titles at the door, mm-hmm. that you can come across so much more energetically. I mean, any of us, you know, the classic question was, you know, how do you reprogram the DVD, you know, the VCR, you go ask your four-year-old. I mean, that metaphor is very alive in organizations. You can't figure some out. Go ask some people that perhaps don't have the polluted minds of 25 years of doing it just a certain way.
correct. And the way that we work together among all four generations is to really, you know, I've seen articles where people would argue, oh, there's no generational differences. It's just diversity. We need to appreciate diversity of every human being, you know, who works for the company. Okay, peace with that. At the same time, there are experience and trends in the generational time frames that help shape motivation, retention, how they think about work, et cetera. So we have to take that into account while not over-rotating on stereotyping, oh, because that person is a 20-year-old, they're going to think this way. Mm-hmm. So we have to filter and manage in the way that we work with people and appreciate the younger generations are technically savvy. You know, are they work savvy? Not so much.
Yeah, and not and you know, particularly communication savvy. It's a different style.
Oh my God, the whole notion of texting and email and phone calls. I had a young person who said, "Don't email me. I don't answer email." I said, "Well, how do you communicate?" He said, "Well, text." And I said, "But I can't send you a document. How do you read documents if I can't send you an email, right?" And people would argue email is passe, and I'm thinking, "Oh my God." Then what's happening with the phone? Because
that's right.
I can watch people sitting side by side, and they're all texting each other, and they're not talking. That's why one of the things that I had mentioned to you is this lost art of dialogue, which mm-hmm. is actually quite scary and something that I think corporations need to pay close attention to, which is email doesn't solve things, texting doesn't solve things. We still must talk to each other. And I think that's a miss for some of the younger generations because they're so used to technology that we are losing the art of conversation and assuming that email or other forms of communication will take care of it. I don't think it will.
No, absolutely not. And particularly when you now spend time, you know, the trends in leadership development of bringing more humanity and compassion, that all starts with within 3 feet of one another. That's the handshake. That's the touch. That's the eye contact.
Right. Right. I totally agree.
Carol, the variety of organizations you've enjoyed working with, obviously you're based, you know, in the Silicon Valley area, and of course that's always the allure of the new, the different, you know, the companies that raise up and then crash again and come back in a new spirit and so on. There's so much activity that's embodied there in the greater San Francisco area. But I would say that the kind of challenges you've brought forward here transcend any location in the United States and even global for that matter.
I would agree, although one of the things that we tend to see in the Valley here is kind of what's coming forth,
right.
What's bleeding edge, what are companies paying attention to, the LinkedIns, the Twitters, the Facebooks, the Googles, the Intuits, they're all kind of evolving. And what's fascinating to me is that their leadership is not wedded to the past because they're too young.
Mm-hmm.
So they are creating new paradigms around leadership development, new paradigms around the way to develop people, new paradigms around ways of working that are not wedded to the past where we grew up with systems and they don't know what they don't know, which is perfectly fine.
So can you give us some examples, new paradigms specifically in the leadership development arena?
Yeah, totally. So one of the things, I went to a Wisdom 2.0 conference last year, and it was fascinating because it was all on leadership, and I thought, oh, you know, what am I going to learn? Is there going to be something new? And what was fascinating to me was the people that spoke who had no knowledge of the past, who didn't care about the past or recreating how their companies are developing people. So, a couple examples. One, improv. Huge. Improv is a way of resiliency and being present.
Mm-hmm.
Compassion, mindfulness. Now, we didn't have that in the pre-digital 24/7 world. So mindfulness is about being present, and because people are so wedded to their electronics,
yep.
They're not paying attention to what's happening in front of them. So mindfulness is becoming a trend. Compassion is becoming a trend. The bullying episodes that we're seeing, and we know bullying in the workplace has been there, you know, maybe not prominent, but compassion for each of us as human beings is becoming more prominent. The one other trend that I would cite that I think is going back to days of old is that I'm finding that leaders are spending more time with their people.
Yes, yes.
You know, the Mark Zuckerbergs of the world, the Twitters of the world, they see the need for leaders to teach leaders. And so no longer will the outside person be brought in, but there's a pull for what does this company need? What do peers want to know? Who's an expert in the company that can help us learn about that particular topic? So there's a pull for content or topics that might be of interest versus, oh, let's push situational leadership, let's push the training days of old, let's push, you know, what we know, and creating like a whole new way of learning.
Well, and particularly the idea of peer support and peer learning. And indeed, I think you're onto something there, of course, and it's demonstrated because particularly if you have people moving companies, moving sectors, moving industries, they can bring outside perspectives on the inside in a way that they're still held accountable for the delivery because they're inside the firm.
Exactly. Exactly.
Carol, what made you launch your business at the time you did?
Oh, that's a great question. I had been internal for many years, and the appeal of getting my consulting wings mm-hmm. back in the 90s was just a great sense of freedom for me to be able to own my own hours, to do the kind of work that I thought was most important for corporations without being wedded or tethered to the political landmines that I think people in our roles often face internally.
Yes,
you know, the kiss of death is you're internal and no one listens to you. Where when you're an external person, you have more cachet or you're more believable. And so part of the genesis of the Pyrus Group was to create a consultancy that would make a difference in the world, you know, one leader at a time. And I am very proud to have built a team where our vision is to be a potent network of committed, passionate leaders in service to leaders, creating healthy communities of work and making a positive difference in the world for today and for future generations. So we have adopted a very particular mindset around being in service, helping people get healthy, helping leaders build healthier organizations for long-term sustainability. And it's something we all love doing. You know, leaders come in all shapes and sizes, all
Absolutely.
Kinds of cultural backgrounds. But their challenges are very similar. And so, you know, when you love the work you do, and I've always loved the work I do, I never question now, am I in my zone? Am I doing the kind of work that makes a difference in the world? It's like, okay, been there, done that, let that go, move on to the next. Like, what's next? So the Pyrus Group was born with that passion and that energy and the desire, you know, to really help leaders in a deep way, not just a surface way. Oh, it's all about learning skills. No, that's not what it's about. It's about getting to underneath the surface of why things happen and how you think and why you think the way you think. And, oh, how about your belief systems,
right?
And is that getting in the way? Or how about judgment? Or how about how you're approaching people? You know, are you coming at it from a stressful position, or are you coming at it from a grounded, centered position where you can be more effective in the role you play? So that's kind of how we started, and we've had a great run of 13 years in the Bay Area and have a great brand, and, you know, we just continue to just enjoy and learn ourselves. You know, and then we adapt, and then we help try to bring that service to others.
Absolutely. That's wonderful. So if you had a chance to kind of turn the tables back on your own leadership development days and recognize the wealth of experience you now have developed to offer to others, what would you be telling yourself, you, Carol Pyrus, 20 years ago in the leadership space? I mean, what have been some of the big ahas?
Yeah, I was very fortunate to be a high potential woman in some large companies. So I had the pleasure and the blessing of attending many of the institutes in my growing up years.
Sure, yeah.
You know, so I would tell people, take advantage of everything that a company has to offer in terms of development. Don't be shy about asking for attending certain things. It's not about training. It might be a stretch project or something that really interests you. So I think one of my learnings was I got assimilated very early on in what really strong leadership could look like. Mm-hmm. And so took full advantage of that. And as an example, I went to an institute at the company I was working with, and there were two topics. One was getting rid of garbage words, yep. both in writing and verbal communications, and the other was presentation skills. And they brought in the elite of the elite in Los Angeles and really worked with us in depth on those two topics. And I have carried those lessons far beyond, you know, my wildest dreams in terms of how I write today, how I approach things, frame things. So I would tell people, take full advantage of what the company has to develop, because it's not about what you do, it's about who you are. And to endeavor to take time to build capability for yourself in the areas that you need to.
Absolutely, and to keep doing that for on and on and on. Well, Carol Pyris, thank you so much for contributing today. For interested listeners, it's the Pyris, P-R-I-A-S, group.com. Thanks a lot, Carol. Have a great afternoon.
Thanks, Sarah.
You bet.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.